So today, I'd like to look at the Nativity and the last days. Things which happened at the time of Christ's first coming foreshadow things which shall happen at the time of his second coming. One is a picture of the other. So I want to look at two things. I want to look at Revelation chapter 12 and the Nativity. And secondly, the Nativity, a foreshadow of when Jesus comes again. Now the Bible is so exciting, isn't it? There is so much in this book that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And this year, by God's grace, he's blessed me so much in the Word. And I trust you are the same, that the Lord has blessed you richly in his Word. The riches of his Word is absolutely marvellous. And my prayer this morning is it's going to excite you in the Word of God. So now, just to begin with, I want to say that we're not looking at the interpretation of Revelation chapter 12, but what we're understanding is how the things that happened at the time of Christ's birth are written in Revelation chapter 12 to symbolize things that shall come when Christ comes again, things that shall happen. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, we read of a woman. The text says this, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." So here we read of a woman. Now in the time of Christ's first coming, we read of a woman. In Luke chapter 1 verse 27, a virgin whose name was Mary. And Mary, of course, was espoused to a man named Joseph. And the angel Gabriel said to Mary that she shall conceive in her womb. And we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Praise God. So in Revelation 12, we read of a woman. As at the time of Christ's first coming, we read of a woman, a virgin, whose name was Mary. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, we go on to read that the woman was with child. It says, "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered." So the woman was with child. In Revelation 12, verse 2, again, at the time of Christ's first coming, we read that Mary, Joseph's espoused wife, was great with child. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So Mary there was great with child. Now we know, don't we, that Joseph didn't intimately know Mary till she'd brought forth her firstborn son. And of course, they called him Jesus. So we see, even in verses 1 to 2 of Revelation 12, that we read of a woman with child. So at the time of Christ's first coming, we read of a woman with child, Jesus conceived of the Holy Ghost. Then we come to Revelation 12, verse 3, where we read of a great red dragon. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." So here we read of a great red dragon. So at the time of Christ's first coming, we read of Herod in Matthew chapter 2. Herod was the king, and he reigned in Judea. And then in Revelation 12, verse 4, we read that the dragon stood before the woman. It says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. As we've read in Revelation 12, verse 2, the woman was with child. And so in verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. And why did he stand before the woman? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. So at the time of Christ's first coming, Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem of Judea, where Mary was great with child, and King Herod reigned in Judea. So the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. And then in Revelation 12, verse 5, we read that the woman brought forth a man-child. It says in the first part of verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Praise God. And he will do. So the woman brought forth a man-child. Again, at the time of Christ's first coming, we read that while Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem of Judea, that Mary brought forth a firstborn son. There are so many details in this. If we were to look at the dragon itself, it takes us into the book of Daniel and discover that it's speaking of things to come. But it's taking what happened at the nativity to show what's going to happen before Jesus comes again. It's marvellous. It says in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So in Revelation 12, verse 5, the woman brought forth a man-child. As at the time of Christ's first coming, Mary brought forth a firstborn son. Is everyone with me? Okay, so in Revelation 12, verse 4, we read, didn't we, that the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So at the time of Christ's first coming, we read, the Herod the king, he reigned in Judea, and when Herod the king heard that child was born king of the Jews, we read, he was troubled. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So Herod the king demanded where Christ should be born. We read that he demanded of all the chief priests and scribes of the people. It says of Herod in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee, notice, out of thee, shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So the chief priests and scribes of the people, they knew the scriptures. And they said to Herod where Christ, the young child, was. Then we read that Herod inquired of the wise men diligently what time the star appeared. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And then it says in verse 8 of Herod, and he sent them, that's the wise men, to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So Herod wanted to know where Christ, the young child, was. But it wasn't to worship him. We read what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in a dream in Matthew 2:13. We read, and when they were departed, that's the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. So he was troubled. He sought the child to destroy him. But then we read something in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, that the woman's child was caught up to God. It says in the last part of verse 5, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The word caught up there is the word for the rapture. The young child was caught up. So at the time of Christ's first coming, we read that when the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in a dream to flee into Egypt, he said to take the young child and his mother in Matthew 2:13. And in verse 14, we read that Joseph took the young child and his mother by night. Now, the Greek word paralambano, translated take and took, is the same Greek word translated taken in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 and 41. Remember, some shall be taken and the other left. One shall be taken and the other left. So we have a picture of the rapture here in Joseph taking the young child and his mother. So in Revelation 12, verse 5, the woman's child was caught up to God and to his throne. And so, as at the time of Christ's first coming, Joseph took the young child and his mother by night. Remember, the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Remember, the things that are written at the Nativity are written in Revelation 12 to point at what will happen before the second Nativity, if you like, the second coming. So we read in Revelation 12, verse 6, that the woman fled into the wilderness. It says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Again, that's taken from the book of Daniel, the 1,260 days. So she fled into the wilderness. Of course, what did Joseph and Mary do? They were told by the angel, as at the time of Christ's first coming, that they should take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And so we read that Joseph took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And it says in Matthew 2:15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, there's a lot to that there. But let me just briefly say this. The woman in Revelation 12 fled into the wilderness for 3.5 years. At the end of the 3.5 years, this is future, Antichrist will be dealt with by Jesus. He'll be cast into the lake of fire by an angel. They were there in the wilderness till Herod was dead. See the picture? The end of the last 3.5 years. So it's deep, really. There's a lot to this. But we have that there. So the woman fled into the wilderness, as at the time of Christ's first coming. Joseph took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 13, it speaks of a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And of course, we read that the dragon doesn't prevail. And then in verse 14, it continues from verse 6, in which the woman fled into the wilderness. And in verse 17, we read that the dragon was wroth. The dragon was wroth. It says in the first part of verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. And so we see here again, as at the time of Christ's first coming, We read of Herod in the first part of Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. The wise men had found the young child and did not bring Herod word again. Rather, we read in Matthew 2:12 that the wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the wise men didn't return to Herod. And of course, Joseph took the young child and his mother by night and fled into Egypt. They escaped him. And of course, that's what will happen to the faithful church when it's raptured. It will escape the Antichrist. So the dragon was wroth. And so Herod was wroth. So what do we read then in verse 17 of chapter 12? Of Revelation, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So at the time of Christ's first coming, we read that what Herod did in the rest of Matthew 2:16, Herod sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, again, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So in Revelation 12, verse 17, the dragon went to make war with the remnant of her seed. As at the time of Christ's first coming, Herod sent forth, that's the water coming out of the serpent's mouth, and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coasts of Bethlehem. He made war with the remnant of a seed, the dragon, in Revelation 12:17. So you see, things that happened at the time of Christ's birth are written in Revelation 12 to symbolize things which shall happen at Christ's second coming. We've not looked at the interpretation of Revelation 12, but we've looked how Revelation 12 takes a nativity to point at Jesus' second coming. So secondly, I want to just briefly understand how some things which happened at the time of the nativity foreshadow things which shall happen at the time of Christ's second coming. And we'll just look at three things. Herod, secondly, the shepherds, and thirdly, the wise men. So firstly, Herod the king. When Jesus was born, it was in the days of Herod the king. So when Jesus comes again, it shall be in the days of Antichrist. The scripture says there shall come a falling away, and that man of sin shall be revealed. And the scripture says of the man of sin that he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The scripture says that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship this man. It says in Revelation 13 verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, one of the titles of the Antichrist is the Son of Perdition. And there's only one other person in the Bible that has that title, Judas Iscariot. And the 12 apostles didn't know who the one was who would betray Jesus until Jesus pointed him out. And do you know who the first one was to know who the one who would betray Jesus was? Who was the first to know? It was the one that was resting his head upon Jesus. Those that don't lean to their own understanding, but the scripture, the word made flesh, Jesus is, isn't he? They'll be the first to know who he is. It's going to be clever. It's not going to be obvious at first. Even the wise men didn't recognize what Herod's true motives were initially. And so it's as it was, we need to understand the nativity so we understand the second coming. So it was in the days of Herod that Jesus came, and so it will be in the days of Antichrist when he comes again. But there's something different, and there are differences. One of those differences is when Jesus came the first time, Herod sought the young child to destroy him. But when Jesus comes again, he'll destroy the Antichrist. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. Secondly, the shepherds. When Jesus was born, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. It says in Luke chapter 2 verse 7 to 8, and she brought forth a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When Jesus came the first time, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. There will be when he comes again. The night in the scripture is the evil time before the Lord comes. The night shall be as it was in the days of Noah, as in the days that were before the flood, when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the night. Great evil in the world. It's getting darker now. When Jesus was born, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Jesus, the good shepherd, said this, and he said this to Peter. He said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said to Peter the second and the third time, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We start off as young Christians, don't we? And then we grow and we mature as sheep. Peter was an elder as well as an apostle. And an elder that loves Jesus feeds his sheep. The Apostle Paul said to the elders of the church in Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he said to the elders this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. God has purchased the church, that's us, with his own blood. And the Holy Ghost has made the elders of the church overseers. And he's made them overseers to feed the church. To feed with what? When the Lord said to backsliding Israel to turn, the Lord said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. We want pastors, don't we? After the Lord's heart. Lord, send them. And we must receive them when he does. Pastors according to the Lord's heart feed the Lord's children with knowledge and understanding. So as good shepherds feed the flock, pastors, according to the Lord's heart, and elders that love Jesus, feed his church with knowledge and understanding. Praise God. Now, when Jesus was born, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. The elders are to keep watch over the church. Paul said to them, the elders of the church of Ephesus, in Acts 20:29, for this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Brothers and sisters, false prophets inwardly are ravening wolves. Jesus, the good shepherd, said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24 leading up to his second coming? And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. There's plenty of them about to tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear. But don't listen to them. Listen to the word. Listen to the Lord. The shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. They loved the Lord's people. They were keeping watch over the flock by night. So there will be faithful pastors and elders keeping watch over the church in this coming time when the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Praise God. And remember, they were the ones that were ready to see Jesus when he came. Thirdly, the wise men. When Jesus was born, there were wise men come to worship him. It says in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Wise men seeking Jesus. Notice they came from the east to Jerusalem, for they'd seen his star in the east. Now in Numbers 24, verse 17, we read prophecy of Christ. It says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel at his first coming. And then it jumps straight into his second, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Very often in the scriptures, his first and second coming are in one verse. When Jesus was born, there were wise men, and they saw his star in the east and came to worship him. They discerned the signs of the times. So when Jesus comes again, the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven. It says in Matthew 24, verse 3, we read there that the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked Jesus what shall be the sign of his coming. And Jesus answered that in verse 30. Jesus said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So, brothers and sisters, as the wise men discerned the signs of the times when Jesus came, when he was born, so wise churches will discern the signs of the times when Jesus comes again. Praise God. Are you excited for Jesus to come? Wow, what a lesson Christmas is. The word is deep, isn't it? It's amazing. It says in Daniel 12, verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It says that they that were foolish took the lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So foolish churches, or churches that are foolish, they take the word of God, so that's good so far, but they don't have the Holy Spirit to enlighten their understanding in it. They read only the surface of the text and that's it. They've got no understanding. We can't understand these things in our own understanding. It's foolishness to the unregenerate. And we were all unregenerate before Jesus saved us. It's foolish, we don't understand. But when the Spirit opens our eyes to the Word, it unveils it to us and we understand. That's having oil in our lamps. Churches that are wise have the Holy Spirit to enlighten their understanding in the Word of God. And they will discern the signs of the times when Jesus comes again. And they shall be ready when the Lord comes. There's going to be wise men again. May that be said of us. So as the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, for they had seen his star in the east, so wise churches shall discern the signs of the times when Jesus comes again. So let's conclude. Things which happened at the time of Christ's birth foreshadow what shall happen at the time of Christ's second coming. And to understand who shall be ready and who shall not be ready when Jesus comes again, we must understand who was ready and who was not ready when Jesus came the first time. Christmas has come, and Christmas is coming again. Amen.